The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin Shapiro, and today we're going to discuss leveraging LinkedIn ads for B2B growth. Joining us is AJ Wilcox, who is the founder of B2Linked, which helps B2B companies get more sales conversations with their ideal prospects through custom-tailored LinkedIn ad strategies. Yesterday, AJ and I talked about leveraging LinkedIn ads to build your pipeline, and today we're going to continue our conversation talking about the best MarTech to integrate with your LinkedIn ads. All right, here's the second part of my conversation with AJ Wilcox, the founder of B2Linked. AJ, welcome back to the MarTech Podcast.
Oh, it's been a whole day. I'm exhausted.
I've missed you so much, I can't even tell you. Don't tell everyone we recorded this right after the last episode.
Boom, baby, secrets.
All right, let's keep this between you, me, and all the listeners. Kidding aside, yesterday we talked about LinkedIn ads. I'm trialing our first LinkedIn campaign, trying to get people to engage with our podcast production business. You've been incredibly helpful, and if nothing else, giving me a sanity check to understand whether my campaigns are performant and whether we have a shot of using LinkedIn as a growth channel. One of the things that I realized is LinkedIn alone cannot drive pipeline. You need all sorts of other systems, everything from using the advertising, capturing your demand, scheduling your meetings, and probably retargeting those consumers to make sure that you can continue your relationship with them. Tell me a little bit about the integrations when it comes to LinkedIn. How do you use MarTech and LinkedIn together?
Yeah, well, there are two different kinds of integrations that you see MarTech integrators do with LinkedIn ads. The first is going to be with LinkedIn's lead generation forms, which are these native forms that people can fill out right inside of LinkedIn, and they load immediately. They come pre-filled with everything LinkedIn knows about you. They have incredible conversion rates, but those leads just go right into LinkedIn's backend. And then if you want to go extract them, you have to go do it manually. So that's the first way that people integrate their MarTech stack is they go and find a partner that will get these leads directly into their CRM. So that's number one. Number two is integration with audiences. So this would be if you have, let's say, a list of all of your current and past customers, you can create a list, push it into LinkedIn, and then run it as an exclusion or what we call a suppression list so that you're not continuing to waste money on people that you already have access to or who are already paying you. So those are the two big integrations.
All right. So essentially, there's one where you're pushing prospects into LinkedIn, and then hopefully they go through the LinkedIn advertising machine, pop out as some sort of a lead. And we could talk about that. Let's talk about the list building here first. Visitors of your website, email lists, newsletter subscribers. What are some of the other ways where you can, in real time, start to feed whether someone is qualified to LinkedIn?
We like ABM audiences or lists of companies that you really want to go after. You could create this kind of list and upload that into LinkedIn. That could come through your CRM as well. We love a list of competitors because we can also suppress them in all of our ads and not have to pay for your competitors when they're coming to check you out. We hit newsletter, we hit anyone who's been a lead in the past but hasn't yet closed. That's a good opportunity to go after it. So basically, if you can imagine it, there's a way to work with a list on LinkedIn.
Now, one of the things that when you're talking about automating, adding somebody to a list where you're going to be advertising to them, obviously that increases the amount you might spend in a LinkedIn campaign. You have to make sure that they're qualified. If I want to do something like retarget the people that are visiting my website, but I've got pretty strict targeting criteria where if my mom comes to my website, I don't want her to be retargeted on LinkedIn. I don't want to spend the budget. I love you, mom. I'm sorry, nothing personal. But if she all of a sudden accepts a job as the VP of marketing at a growth stage startup, well, now it's a totally different story. Can you target or filter your auto-created audiences to make sure that they're within your targeting criteria?
Yes, it's one of my favorite parts about LinkedIn ads is as you go to build your campaign, you'll say they have to be present in this list and they have to be seniority of manager and above, and they have to be at a company size of at least, let's say 500. You can put all of that criteria on your retargeting list so that you're only talking to your website visitors who fit your criteria.
I love it. All right. And you mentioned the suppression list. You're going to take off the people that are your competitors, people that are already your customers. What are some of the other data sources that you're feeding to exclude people that you don't want to target?
People who you already have access to, they're already on your list, and maybe you don't want to keep spending money on them. You can exclude them. You may want to target them with a win back or something more detailed, like a more detailed campaign. But in most of your campaigns, you may want to just exclude them. Your employees, it's always a great idea to exclude your own employees because your employees are not going to become your customer. So why not?
If somebody figures out how to do that, then they're going to run a very successful business. You just have to keep hiring. Let's turn the tables here. All right, we're going to build our retargeting list. We're going to filter them by what type of company, what seniority, what their job function is. Now, all of a sudden, we've got all these brilliant marketers that we're retargeting with our beautiful LinkedIn ads. We're popping up this form. So all they have to do is press one button to submit their name, company, email address. But you can also grab what their previous experiences, anything that's on their LinkedIn profile. When you're building out your forms and allowing LinkedIn to sort of extract the data that it already knows to be sent to you, should you be going for every bit of information, name, company, title? What's the right amount of data that you should be asking to collect when you're running a LinkedIn format?
This one really depends. And we've seen it across multiple clients where some clients, they want to be more choosy because their sales team needs the lead quality to be higher. And so we'll purposely put friction in their way and make them select fields that aren't pre-filled and things like that. Others, we're just trying to get the highest conversion rate possible because they're trying to get these people to expose who they are so they can continue marketing to them in the future and reach out. So totally depends. What I would suggest is the fastest way to get someone to engage with your form is first name, last name, and email. That's going to be the easiest. But I would also say one of the fields that people don't mind submitting is their LinkedIn profile URL, their public profile. And when you go visit someone's public profile, you immediately get their company, their job title, their industry, their company size. You can figure all that stuff out manually, or you can do that through enrichment. So my recommendation, keep it light.
Time for a 1 minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from "I think" to "I know"? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview. A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. So let's talk a little bit about the extraction process. You mentioned that when you're using a form, you're not having a click and then driving to a third-party site. You're keeping everybody in LinkedIn. All of their data is automatically filled out. They say, yes, I want to submit this to whoever created this ad. That should be a seamless process. But now you have to go into LinkedIn to see who's actually signed up. There's no triggers, no notifications. There's a couple different ways that you can make sure that you're martech-ing this to be a little bit more efficient. Walk me through that process.
So LinkedIn started integrating partners probably 5-6 years ago. And one of the first ones they did was Salesforce and HubSpot and Zapier. Now they have Marketo, they have LiveRamp, they have a whole bunch of others. But I think those initial three are still some of the most common ones that I see used. Obviously, if you have HubSpot, that's probably LinkedIn's tightest partnership. So chances are you're going to get all the information and functionality you need out of LinkedIn ads without needing any other MarTech partners. If you're not using Salesforce or HubSpot, the $20 a month Zapier plan is going to let you ship those leads into whatever CRM you do have because Zapier integrates with about everything.
One of the things that we've done, now, admittedly, we haven't had any form fills, so maybe the ad campaign isn't working just yet, but I set up a Zap from LinkedIn ads into Zapier, and it just emails me right away when somebody completes the form, so I can then reply to that. But you can actually automatically send a reply when someone has filled out a form. Is there a best practice in terms of the ask that you should be giving, hey, fill out this form and then reply to somebody saying, hey, let's schedule a time, automating an email? What's the right follow-up once somebody has actually filled out the form to engage and start a conversation?
If you've promised to give them something, like here's access to a guide or a checklist or something, I really like having it fire as a direct result of them submitting the form, going directly to their email. And that's because they can't put in a fake email address, chucknorris.com, because they're not going to get the document that they wanted. So a lot of times people will go back and fix their email address because they'll go, I actually did want that. I just didn't want to get followed up with. But I love the idea of if it's scheduling an appointment, immediately after filling out the form, you can push them right to a Calendly or the HubSpot meeting or Meet Once or any of those and get them to book on your calendar while they're still thinking about it.
It's one of those things where when I'm setting up my initial campaign, do I drive somebody directly to my calendar? Do I try to do a lead capture that then gives me their information so I can email them, so I can ask them if they want to meet? I know that you're going to say this depends, so I'm going to take that out of the realm of possibility for answers. Other than it depends on each client, how do you figure out if you should be trying to drive direct traffic right to a book an appointment with me or collecting emails and then retargeting and continuing to market?
At small volumes, I would say go as personal as you can. So that means when they fill out the form, you're going to reach out personally and make sure that they know, like, this is not AI. This is not an auto-generated response. Like, you are hearing from Ben and I care about you. I think that's the best reaction that we're ever going to get is when someone can tell that we put effort into it and that they matter to us. If you have success doing that, that's when I would test, like, oh, can I get the same booking response rate by automating the email and sending them right to my Calendly?
I guess the last question is, at small volumes, you're going to be managing this campaign yourself. You're going to be sending personalized outreach. There's probably not a ton of demand coming. I mentioned that our first campaign was a $500 test, a tiny little budget, a very small audience, and also very small results so far. When you start to scale, at what point should you be thinking about continuing to do this yourself? At what point does it make sense to hire a B2 linked, get some professional help, have somebody else who knows the platform a little bit better start pulling the levers for you?
I would say if you see inefficiency creep in that you know you shouldn't have, that's when it's probably a good idea to get someone else's attention on it, who that's what they do for a living, is they give attention to it. So if you see your costs creeping up over about like $10 a click, maybe that's a clue that if someone else can save you money by doing it, outsourcing to them, all the better. If it's taking a lot of your time and you're like, man, there's so many other valuable things I should be doing, then that's a good clue to outsource to. I'd watch for those too.
There's the time consideration. I also think that there's got to be some sort of spend efficiency. We're having a professional manage this. If you were thinking about this from a budget perspective, I'm spending $500 a month. I'm not going to spend a multiple $1,000 retainer on a advertising partner. If I'm spending $100,000 a month, it probably makes sense to give my budget to somebody who's going to be 10% more efficient than I am. Where's the balance where, from an ROI perspective, it makes sense to have the pros handle it?
I would say anywhere between about, let's say anything over about $4,000 to $5,000 a month in ad spend, you'll probably find someone like us who could get you a lot better results for the money that you're spending.
All right, there you have it. If you're spending $5,000 a month on LinkedIn ads, AJ is your man. He won't say it, but I will, because I went to him even before I was spending $500. AJ, always great to have you here. Any last words for the people that are thinking about LinkedIn ads? How can they get in touch with you? Where should they look for more content about LinkedIn?
Well, obviously, find me on LinkedIn, AJ Wilcox. I'm really easy to find there. Send me a connection request and just personalize it. Say, you heard me on Ben's show, then I'd love to connect with you. But I'm constantly sharing great stuff there. And then, of course, our website, b2linked.com. If you go there, fill out any of the forms there, we'll be in touch.
He's too modest. He's got his own podcast. He does YouTube videos. I watch him all the time. AJ, we're going to be working on self-promotion next time we talk. I love you. I appreciate you coming to the podcast and teaching me and the audience a little bit about LinkedIn. Thanks for being my guest.
Hey, anytime.
All right. That wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to AJ Wilcox, the founder of B2Linked, for joining us. If you'd like to hear from AJ, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact him on Twitter, WilcoxAJ. You can visit his website, b2linked.com. That's B, the number 2linked.com. On YouTube, he's got obviously great LinkedIn content. He's a man of many talents. And if you need LinkedIn help, this is not a paid promotion. AJ is the first person I would go to. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even apply to be the next guest speaker on the MarTech Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MARTECHPOD, on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.